Hello and welcome to episode 72 of the Console Ninjas podcast. I, as always, am Jay Stokes. And as always, I'm joined by some of my fancy co-hosts. We've got Del and Will in today. All right, boys?
All right.
I'm glad you're always Jay Smith. I'm glad sometimes you don't change.
Okay, you're a fucking mong. mongery aside, I'm hoping people have got some games to talk about because I have mostly been playing Fallout and... I've mostly been doing lots of more that I was doing on the Fallout show that we put out before, which has been received pretty well, actually. We've had some good feedback from that. So we'll try and do another one of those shortly. But, yeah.
Well,
we're doing lots
very
of
quickly,
Fallout.
Before we move on, how many suits of power armor are you up to? That's the question.
Today, I am currently taking my 15th set back to my base.
Okay.
So,
fucking spoilers, there's power armor in it.
Are they all laid out nicely, like a museum?
Yes, Del. I've got my own little Tony Stark thing going on. I've got two rows of armour facing each other, mostly all painted up and stuff like that, all looking very nice. But I never see them because I'm always out killing Deathclaws for a laugh. Anyway, other than that, what have I done other than that? Yesterday, I went to the Museum of Computing in Swindon. Ooh. Which sounds pretty grand and wonderful, and I thought it was. Firstly, I was quite underwhelmed because this museum is effectively like a shop space that's just got loads of old retro kit in it, which is good. I like it. It's not formal in any way. It's just loads of stuff that's got some explanations of what it is and the history of stuff, and it's got some machines set up. So it had Commodore 64 set up, Atari ST, all sorts of retro stuff, to be honest, all set up. Lots of things to look at, lots of memories to come flooding back. I did get to play some little games. I tried to load some Dizzy games on the ST, but it turned out all the discs were fucking blank or fucking broken.
Games?
Dizzy.
You don't remember Dizzy?
No, what's that, mate?
Shut up, Will. Get off this fucking podcast now. You're not that fucking young, son.
I'm young enough, mate.
Sure.
Or I was poor enough.
Well, you'll be lucky because there's a new Dizzy game being made, so you'll get to.
Is it Dizzy Rascal?
Are you going to carry on like this today? Have you just fucking been here because you were fucking being a dick today? Right, dickery aside, so I played on some stuff and I had lots of gooey moments over bits of old kit, and it was all good fun. And for the price of £2, and if you're in Swindon, there's fuck all else to do, so you may as well go in there.
That's a bargain.
There you go. That's my advert for it. actually, there as well, there, one of the things they had was an Oculus Rift dev blooming kit running the roller coaster thing. And the person I went with had never done the VR thing before, so that was quite good in itself. Anyway, other than that, that's it. That's all I've done. So I played lots of Fallout and shot loads of things. So please, gentlemen, stop me rambling on and tell me about some games that you've played.
Well, I was going to ask you about your museum, but all right.
Go on then, ask me something.
I was just going to ask you if there was any high scores for you, because I know you know about that.
There could have been. I probably could have hit some high scores.
So you shat it then?
No, I was too busy just going gooey over things, to be honest with you. So there was no real high scores to beat, but if you really wanted to, they had lots of the magazines there with all the code in there, so you could have sat there for a couple of hours typing in all the basic code if you really wanted to and run that. For a bit of retro love, but I didn't because I could do that at home. Really. Anyway, that's me. So yeah, come on then. Who's got something to talk about? Del, you been playing any games?
Okay, I've been playing a few. I've been on holiday as well.
Enough. Showing off having holidays.
Although I was in a bar where the tables were pinball tables, but
didn't your drink slide off?
No, because they're. Obviously, they have changed them so that they're flat pinball tables, which I know
is the worst pinball tables of all.
I mean, some shit pinball tables, but so I've been back for about a week. My sleep pattern has gone to shit, So that means my gaming has been patchy. But I have started Tomb Raider and Until Dawn. So does anyone have a preference which one I start with?
No, on you go, mate. Right. I want to hear about both. Just don't spoil any of them, or I'll kill you.
Okay, well, in Tomb Raider you play as Lara Croft. Oh no, wait a minute. Anyway.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Dil. I didn't even know she was in it.
So this,
you know what I mean? Just don't tell me if she fucking dies or some shit.
Oh, she's definitely... The most horrific one I've had so far is when I've fallen into a pit and she's had a spike go through her jaw and through her cheek at this stage, which was pretty gruesome.
Lovely.
But you know. It's okay.
Before you start, have you pushed her into a corner so you get the camera angle looking at her ass?
No.
Fuck's sake, Del. Do you even fucking games, bro?
Tomb Raider?
I just put that into Google. Actually, no, that's not a point.
Anyway, sorry.
Anyway, Rise of the Tomb Raider, which is basically more of the Tomb Raider reboot. This time, she's a little bit more worldly wise, she's a little bit less, oh no, it's all horribly wrong, and she's a lot more sure of herself. And the developers, it seems, have taken on board the idea that we like tombs and we don't like spending ages shooting folks. So pretty early on, you're put into a big tomb, and the whole aspect of both exploration, crafting, and finding little hidden secrets all over the open world sections is
and
really...
And raiding, hopefully, as well.
Yes. It's all very well done. I've been playing this now, I think, for about 12 hours, of which I'm pretty sure I spent 6 just in one area, wandering about going, oh look, it's a cave, what's in the cave? Oh look, it's a big fucking wolf that spit my face off. Stuff like that. It's really fun to just wander about and explore locations, looking for secrets, looking for treasures, looking for tombs, looking for relics. All that sort of stuff. They've expanded on that a lot more than the first one, which had some of that to start with, but was very much a go from A to B to C to D. And it didn't really deviate too much from that. What it does now is it basically puts you into an area and says, go and explore. We'll tell you where your next mission location is in terms of the main story, but if you want to go and wander about and find stuff, go on, go ahead. And it's really good for that. It's probably better than the first one in that regard. The problem is slightly that when you start to go down that route, the main story starts to fall away to the side. To the point that I'm pretty sure something major is happening and I need to stop somebody. But I'd rather go and look at this cave first.
Doing it right.
I don't know, mate. That's one of the things I really liked about the first Tomb Raider remake or reboot kind of thing. You actually got quite invested in the story and the character. I think it's a lot to do with because you were trying to survive off the island and all that kind of stuff.
And you can do that here.
Is it just as engaging or is it maybe not as good? I don't know.
So, I think so far this story has not been necessarily as gripping. But, like the first game, if you want to go from start to finish and just do the main story path, then there's nothing going to stop you doing that. Nothing at all will stop you doing that. It's just because I get put into an area that I have never been in before and my first instinct is to just run about everywhere like a crazy person. Have a look at stuff, stick my nose into things, but if you want to follow the main story from beginning to end, you can do, because it gives you the opportunity to go back to any of the base camps that you've found at any point in the game. So you can go right to near the end, and then turn around and say, right, now I'm going to go back and explore everywhere that I want to explore. It's just that that's not the way I tend to play. Any game that I get invested in that I want to go and have a look around, I will always do that before I tend to do the main story. Which is a flip side, because if it's a game that is an open world that I am certainly less invested in, I'm not too fussed about picking up the collectibles. But so far, in Tomb Raider, I want to pick up all the collectibles. At this stage. So
I think it's one of the next things I'm going to play, to be honest, but I don't know, I'm kind of humming and hand between this and Assassin's Creed. Do you think this is worth a pickup?
Yes. Oh god, yeah. Yeah, it's really good. It is really, really
good.
How
long is it, by the way? Because whatever I start playing right now, I might finish before Christmas so that I can well, that, sanctity for the Fallout.
No, that's one of those questions, is how much are you going to go and explore all the areas? If you're just going to play it from start to finish, it's probably about 10 hours less. But if you're going to go and go, right, what's around here? What's all these little relic locations? What am I going to find in this little area? Oh, it's just a cave. Or what am I going to find in here? Oh, look, there's a little kind of puzzle thing in here that I need to figure out. If you're going to do all of that, you're talking maybe 20 hours, 25 hours, I would think.
Sounds about the length of game I'm looking for, to be honest. That might be worth a shout.
But it's like most things, that the more you invest in it, the more you'll get out of it. But there's nothing to stop you going from the start to the end with just the basic stuff. And I'm playing it on the, not the hardest, but the one just below the hardest. And apart from one really shitty section, which is basically a very confined area where it decides to throw heavies at you, heavy enemies at you, for no good reason at all. It's all been really straightforward in terms of going through.
Great.
It's not really a hard game, to be honest.
See, I think I kind of like a bit of beef anyway, Derek. I'm kind of.
I've heard that about you.
Goes both ways.
You could be like this the whole show.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Worst cunt.
Dickhead.
No, I like a bit of beef anyway. I like to do you do whatever you can do in the area you're in, then you do a bit of the story, then I like mixing it up. I kind of come
so
back
far,
and do it in the bottom.
So far as well, optional tombs have been pretty good. There's one really good one that involves changing water levels. I'm not going to say any more than that.
Is that the one that we played in Eurogame?
No.
You never played it, did you?
Nope, it's not the one. The one we played at Eurogame is the very first one you'll do.
Right, okay.
So they don't really spoil anything in that regard. It is very pretty much the first thing that you will do. But there's one later on which involves mucking about with water levels. And it was really good fun. I really enjoyed doing it. It wasn't, I mean, none of them are overly hard, but they do give you a nice sense of satisfaction when you finish it. And I think there's about 9 of them all in all. It's also, it looks great, and the main character she's obviously matured a little bit from the previous game, where the previous one is where you got to the point of thinking, okay, so she's kind of figuring out who she is. This one, she has figured out who she is, and she just wants to find out more about a particular part of her past.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely be playing it.
So it's...
Is there multiplayer in this one?
No, thank God there's not. the what they have is something called, I think it's Expeditions, where you get to play various parts of the story again, but with modifiers. I've not looked into it that much, because I just want to finish the main game.
Sure.
But it looks like there's some degree of replayability in that at this stage. Because you get what appears to be some form of challenge cards as you go through the game. I have no idea what they do. But that will probably become apparent once I've finished this. But it's good. It is really good. If you liked the first one, this is very much more of the same, but better refined.
Right.
That's the best way I can really think of putting it. They've taken what they needed to learn, they've expanded the area so that they become more explorable, and there is still some combat encounters, but you can be really kind of sneaky in how you do it, in terms of whether you go full stealth or whether you decide to go for just all out action, shoot people in the face. That is quite satisfying to go stealthy, because you can throw a bottle, distract somebody, shoot the person who was next to him in the head with an arrow. And then go and get them to sneak up behind the other person and basically strangle them with your bow. It's great fun, quite frankly. And, right. Any other thing on Tomb Raider? Anyone want to know?
No. That's alright. That sounds pretty good. I haven't played the first one yet, the first reboot one, so I'm going to play that at some point because we've got it free. And then I might think about this one in about 2025, maybe.
Well, considering the way that it's already kind of chugged down in price, some places were selling it for £30 recently, so I think it's going to go pretty cheap pretty quick.
Yeah, they're not price holding games, are they?
No, not at this point. So that leaves Until Dawn.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's good and there's bad bits about this. Until Dawn is basically a make your own adventure book with multiple choices to conversations, quick time events for action scenes, and exploring with various characters in order to find clues. Basic premise is that everyone's up in a cabin in the woods and there's people going after them. That's, from that point, you have what they call the butterfly effect, in terms of your actions at one stage will either affect or enforce an action at a later stage. It's all done with very... It's basically a Telltale game, but with an attempt to do realistic graphics.
Yeah.
And
I was kind of expecting that.
So this is where I have the problem, is that I now know why Telltale choose a style for most of their games. Because when you try and make something look realistic, if it is not incredibly realistic in terms of the animation, how they act, the lip syncing, a lot of the time you look at it and you go, that just looks a little bit weird. It just doesn't quite...
Is that a bit uncanny valley?
Sometimes it looks phenomenal. And the environments, for the most part, look fantastic. It's really just when it comes down to how the characters interact with each other and how they lip sync. To the point that you kind of... You look at it and you go, I see what you're trying to do, and I can kind of buy into it. But because you want it to be so realistic, the times that it's not really kind of stand out a little bit. Which is why I see why Telltale do what they do. Because when you hyper-stylize it, it just doesn't stick out as much.
Right, and most of the things Telltales have done have suited that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
This is supposed to be a horror game, isn't it? That's the biggest question I would have. Is it scary?
They've had a couple of decent jump scares. I will say that much.
Will I shite myself at it though?
Possibly.
Because you know me, I'm a big shite bag.
Yeah, I think there's definitely moments that I was surprised while playing it that I was not expecting to happen. I said some of these are just fairly straightforward jump scares. It's like, ooh, 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 and then something jumps out. But it's effective. It still works. It still made me kind of go, fuck!
Sounds good, mate. Sounds just about the right amount I can handle, to be honest. I know I've already asked this about the last game, but is it a long game? Is it nice and short?
I've not finished it yet, but I think it looks as if it's around the 8 to 10 hour mark at this stage.
Right, that sounds a bit good. Because I think if I'm ever going to get it, I'm going to have to rent it and play it on my cousin's PlayStation, so I don't want to have something that's too long.
I would say that the exploring bit I do like, the character interactions at this stage have been kind of interesting, but a lot of them also follow the horror cliche bit a little bit too much in some respects. The quick time events. If you don't like quick time events, this isn't going to change your mind.
Jace, you love a quick time event, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm all over the quick time events, mate. In fact, I wish real life had more quick time events in it. I want a fucking press X to fucking open the door every time I fucking go anywhere.
It's happily not that bad, I think, but it's in that mold. It's very much in that mold, and the story is interesting enough for me to want to know what happens next. But also cliched enough that I'm pretty sure I know what's going to happen next. If that makes sense.
Right, okay. How about the choices, mate? How much do you feel so far that your choices are affecting stuff? Because that's obviously a big thing that you've had with Telltale, where the games are always kind of leading to the same place anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you can maybe change a couple of elements of that, but how do you feel about this?
It's hard to say at this point because I don't... I've been mostly successful. There's nobody's died yet in that regard.
Right.
There's a possibility that somebody might, but nobody has at this point. And I don't know if I'm going to feel cheated if somebody dies because of a quick time event that I pressed the wrong button on. That's the bit I'm still trying to figure out. But in terms of playing the characters as they are kind of portrayed, I've kind of stuck to that, and it's been pretty good so far in that regard. The dialogue at times, dialogue's been horrible at times. Really, really kind of bad. But it's a real oddity. It's, but some of it's, the individual bits of it at times just feel a little bit rough. But everything's interesting enough that it just makes me kind of bob along to go, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next. I'll just put it on, I'll play half an hour, 45 minutes. And then I'll switch it off again. It hasn't got its hook into me enough that I'll sit and play it all night. But it's got its hook into me enough that I will sit and go for a 45 minute play session, see what happens, and then probably switch it off.
Sounds like watching an alternative to watching a series or something, so you can be playing like an episode.
Yes.
And then you come back and do another one another time. It's like that.
It is to the point that they even have a previously on Until Dawn run.
Oh, fuck off.
At your, when you go back in for your next session, it'll say previously on Until Dawn.
That's like, fucking shit.
Really? It's like, I know I'm getting on in years, but I'm not that bad. On a plus point,
I don't mind that. I don't mind that when you're playing a Telltale game, if you're playing them month to month as they're coming out, because it can be good. But I can see, because obviously Battlefield Hardline had that. Every time you played a new level, in the level,
that's the most hilarious shit, though. I'm sorry. That, of all the things, of all the games to have that, Battlefield Hardline is the game you're least likely to care about the story in than anything else in the world.
I know. And obviously Alan Wake was kind of big on that as well, because it was trying to present itself as a kind of TV show, wasn't it? But I don't know. As long as you can skip them.
You can skip any cutscene, by the looks of it. Because there was one time that I felt I had failed something unfairly. So I just went back and redid it. And a little cutscene.
That's the beginning.
I have a rule in that if the UI is not clear enough into what direction I need to press to make a choice, then I redo it.
I agree with you, because I did the same thing in Game of Thrones where one of my characters died, and it wasn't because any choices, it was because, you know, way I've moaned about the way the screen lags a bit, and by the time it caught up with itself, the like prompt to press the button had already just been and gone, and the guy died without me. So that's the only time I would do it as well.
So for me, it was because normally it has a choice on the left and the right. This time, I thought the choice was also on the left and the right, but I actually suspect the choice was up and to the right. But when I was pressing left, because that's the option I wanted to pick, but it wasn't selecting it, and then I pressed right a little bit to, and it was just one of those moments that I went, that's the UI's fault not being clear enough. And the only other plus point is it's got one of the guys out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So the, blatantly spoilers.
Sorry.
Spoilers at this stage. Who was the agent that was pretending to be with S.H.I.E.L.D. until he turned out to be with the other guys in Season 1?
I can't remember what his name is. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so he's in it. And Hayden Panettiere, Panacotta, whatever her name is.
Hayden Panettiere.
She's got the most... It's the second. That second name, I have no idea how to pronounce.
Hayden Panten Provina.
Oh, dear. I'm sure there's a joke about banging in there somewhere, but I really refuse to make it. So she's in it as well. The rest of them are people I have no idea about.
Do you get to bang her?
Hey, unfortunately not. Although there is a point.
Not playing it then. Fuck off.
There is a time that she appears just in a towel. So, you know. And what I'll do is I'll back her into a corner and see if it looks at her arse at that point instead.
Yeah.
Oh dear. And I think. I can see why Until Dawn has received the reaction that it has, because in a lot of ways, it's janky as hell. It's not necessarily as well crafted as it could be, and there's lots of little bits that you kind of look at and you go, it just feels a little bit rough. However, there's enough happening there that kind of makes me want to keep playing it just to see how many people I can save or end up dying in some horrible, horrible way.
It's definitely on my list of things to play anyway. I think it's probably going to be sometime next year, but the only thing is I'll have to rent it and convince my cousin to let me sit a bit with him and play for a whole night or something. Try and see if, do you think it's probably possibly beatable overnight?
I think two nights. A two-night session, you'd be fine, to be honest.
Right.
I'm doing it in little chunks because just as I said, it feels rough enough that I get to a certain point of going, I'm kind of bored doing this now.
No, that's fair enough. Obviously, if you've got it, you've got the option to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely something. I can see why they've done it in the episodic format, because it does lend itself to you doing a little bit and then going, right. She may be dying and he's hanging off a cliff, and I'm going to come back to this maybe tomorrow and see what happens then.
Definitely. I mean, you can see the same thing with the Telltale games. I like playing them month to month as they come out, but I don't think I could have sat down and played like the full six episodes of Game of Thrones over the course of a couple of days. I think I'd have got really bored.
I will say one thing as well, is that they do have mid-sections a bit like, I think it was Silent Hill Revelations, the Wii version of Silent Hill, where you talk with a form of therapist who shows you pictures, and you have to pick who's best, who's not best, what scares you, what doesn't scare you, in a not very thinly veiled attempt to kind of put stuff into the game. But that, and the psychotherapist has the most disturbing set of teeth I've ever seen, because they're just too good. Nobody has teeth as good as him, to the point that whenever he speaks, I just look at him and go, nobody has teeth like that. They just, yeah, it's just weird. But that's where the uncanny valley thing comes in. We just go, you end up focusing on one thing and just going, I don't know what else is happening, because that just looks odd.
Sure. Right, so were you about to say you got something else as well, Dale?
Well, I'm thinking, I don't know if anybody saw the PS4 getting PS2 games announcement thing.
Yes.
So, I'm going to get myself a copy of Rogue Galaxy, which is a Japanese RPG I've wanted to play for ages, despite the fact that the prices are the most horrific pricing since Nintendo has started to do their virtual console stuff, because they're charging you £12 a PS2 game at this point, which seems really steep. Don't know if it seems steep to anybody else, but it's steep.
No, it's
the fucking worst shit that is.
I mean, it's £11.99, but it's basically £12. I had credit, which is why I bought this anyway, because I thought, I'm intrigued to see what it's like, but it seems that's really high. Maybe it's just me, but that's really high. But next time we do a podcast, I'll let everyone know what a bit of Rogue Galaxy is like, and how the emulation software works up. Because certainly playing some of my 360 games on my Xbox One, they seem to be going pretty well at this point.
See, when you buy them, do you get to keep them on your hard drive, and can you play it offline?
Yes, yeah. Yes, it is effectively buying a digital game. So if it's your home console, you can play it offline. If you play it on any other console that it's downloaded on, it has to be connected to the internet in order to verify the license. And if you can play it offline on your home one, and online if you're connected to the internet on another.
Aye, let us know how you get on with it.
Aye, I'm intrigued by it, but it's just because it's a lovely move, because there's so much PS2 stuff I would love them to put out, but it seems really dickish to put it at £12. I was hoping for more, about £6 to £8.
What's on your list, mate? What are you looking for them to put on the
most? I'd love them to put Final Fantasy XII on it. I'd love them to put God Hand on it.
What one's 12 again?
12's the one that was 12. A little...
It's one that came after 11, before 13.
12 was the one with Tidus. No, it wasn't it. That was one before it, wasn't it? 12 was the one I didn't like.
12's the one that's a little bit like MMORPG, in that I think the attacks are kind of automatic, and you just have to manage your team.
Choosing your special attacks.
Yeah.
Although it does have the Wii system, like, kind of like Dragon Age, where you can program your team to do whatever they're going to do in battle. I think that's the first Final Fantasy game I ever complete.
And on a very slight tangent then, did anyone else see the Final Fantasy VII footage from the weekend either as well?
Yes.
One of you sounds happy.
I've just finished touching myself.
Mixed emotions.
So, quick aside, obviously the combat looks different. Is that making anybody Worried, not worried, or indifferent?
No, I was expecting it. They said, every time they've ever spoken about it, they've said if they're going to do it, they're not doing the same game again. Do you know what I mean? And I've always said, as long as they're going to keep the story, and I understand you can't have a big AAA title now where three guys stand and wait in a queue to have hits each other, do you know what I mean? So, as long as the combat system's good, I wasn't expecting it to be like the way it was, but I'm still a bit disappointed to have it confirmed.
People say that though, but people absolutely loved Persona 4, and that's all that ever did. And I'm pretty sure that's all Persona 5 is going to do, is turn-based battles.
I think that's got a very specific set of people wanting to play it though, but with something like Final Fantasy 7 Reboot, it's going to have such a massive name onto it, it's going to sell lots of copies, and I don't think people these days can cope with ATB the way we could. I loved the Active Time Battle System. I thought it was the best fucking thing in the world. But
me too. I mean,
I don't think it'll work now. Not for the majority of people. I'd like to have it optional.
That's what
maybe.
I was going to see.
But the thing for me that still keeps me hopeful about it is it still looks fairly authentic. Obviously, you've got the members of Avalanche there, noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Barrett is there, Jesse Biggs, they were all there. Even the enemies look like they did,
yeah.
Or an updated version of what they were, like, yeah. the big scorpion robot that was one of the first big enemy you fight.
I'd be shivers watching that bit.
So I'm like, yeah, I mean, those bits are keeping my spirits positive.
I think I certainly think you've got the look right. I'm already loving what seems to be the remastered soundtrack. Because obviously the music they used as part of the reveal was a remaster of one of the battle themes. And I was just sitting there going, okay, I already know I'm going to buy the music as soon as it comes out at this stage. Because it just sounded wonderful.
Definitely. I mean, it's really hard to get a legit copy of the Final Fantasy VII original soundtrack right now.
Is it?
Well, unless you want a CD.
Yeah.
Who's got a CD player?
I'm pretty sure it's on one of the fucking download music services.
Well, it's not on Apple Music, and it's not on Spotify. So, and if it's not on Apple Music, it means it's not on iTunes.
Might be on Amazon, though.
Yeah, who knows?
But anyway, that's the one I don't use. So
the look's good, the music sounds good. I am kind of with you, Jace, in that I suspect it's not going to be ATB. I would love to have the option of doing it, though, because a large part of my Final Fantasy memory is doing those battles in that way. And I know it looks stupid, but it just, that is a lot of what made that game special to me, is picking the materials and trying to build them up and then figuring out how to use them in a sequenced way when I was within a battle situation.
Yep.
And that is going to obviously change at this stage.
The thing about it is, Dale, it doesn't look like it's going to be a full action RPG, though.
No, I don't think
it's
really.
If you look down the bottom left, you can see like the attack, magics, all that kind of stuff come out. I don't know if it's just like maybe a more action orientated version.
And
do you know what I mean?
The only other,
closer to something that
I think the only other thing I want is them to have a dual language option between Japanese and English. Because
you want to play it in Japanese?
Well, there'll be subtitles, but the thing is, I have a sense in my head of what those characters sounded like when I played it all those years ago. And for better or for worse, that sense of what I think they sound like is still kind of there. And when I started to hear the voices that they had picked, a little bit of me also went, not sure.
So you assigned voices to characters that are mute in your head, and you've got a problem that those people who did the sound didn't pick up those exact voices
that you made up in your fucking head. No, what I'm saying
you
is,
are fucking insane, Del.
Also,
really
also
are.
On top of that, he must have assigned Japanese voices to the English.
That's even weirder.
All I'm saying is, when you read text, in your head, you
Hello,
sometimes start
my
to
name's
imagine.
Zerus.
What you do,
I'm a flower girl.
What you kind of do is you kind of imagine how they're saying it, whether they've got an accent, something like that. It's not an exact voice, but it's a representation of what that would sound like based on how the character's speaking, what the text is.
In a future show, we're going to get Del to go through all his voices. I want to hear his fucking...
I've got a lot of voices that talk to me in my head.
I want to hear his fucking Vincent Valentine. I want to hear all his fucking characters. I want to hear his Rufus voice. That'd be nice.
See, the issue I've got, Del, is similar-ish. And for me, it's just the fact that I've watched the movie Final Fantasy VII Advent Children so many times. And I'm used to the way the characters sound. And for watching that trailer, it sounds like none of the voice actors are reprising their role anyway, or for the characters that you've seen in the trailer anyway. I'm fine with it. I'll obviously get used to the voice actors, but obviously the Advent Children voices are what I've got in my head whenever I replay it now.
And how old's Advent Children?
What's that, about 8 years maybe? Yeah.
And the fucking rest. Keep going.
That's not more than 10 years old.
It's fucking old enough, though. And how many fucking voice actors are going to have the same voice and fucking reprise their roles for this?
I know.
You
that's why I'm saying...
pair of you are fucking insane. What do you want?
I specifically say they'll get used to the new ones.
I want the new Final Fantasy VII to not be able to use the analog sticks and only use the fucking D-pad for authenticity reasons.
I mean, they'll be fine. I'll get... The voice issue is something that I'll end up getting over. It's not really a problem. It would just be nice if they had the option of doing Japanese or...
No, because you'll be listening to the mental Japanese people screaming at each other.
Yeah, but then I do watch a lot of anime, so I'm kind of used to mental Japanese people screaming at each other.
Please, can you do localization for Del's fucking imaginary friend?
Oh, dear. You're a bunch of cunts. Right, who's next?
I guess I better pop, Benny.
Go on then, Will, what are you saying? Wow me with your talk of Star Wars Battlefront 1.
So I'm going to talk about Star Wars Battlefront.
Are you?
Good choice.
Well,
good
choice. How did you know that?
I've played the 10-hour EA Access demo. That's about all my experience with it, to be honest. But I made sure to try all the different modes and see what I liked, and turns out, no, an awful lot. I tended to stick to one mode for the last five hours.
Did you not feel the force?
But, as a shooter, it's very similar to Battlefield, and I'm sure people will be wanting to kill me for saying that, but it is.
Because it is Battlefield, just with skin on the top.
I don't know what it is about Battlefield, the interface way or whatever, but I just find it really, really difficult to shoot anybody in it. I mean, you've played Hardline with me, Jace, and we took a wee shot of, was it 3 we played back in the day a wee bit?
Yeah, and we've played 1943 and all that, haven't we?
As much as I like them, and I like getting a wee go in the vehicles and the heavier weapons and stuff like that, I just, whenever I'm on foot, I just can't hit anything. And
that's like every other game, you fucking shit.
Thanks, thanks. But, as I say, I don't know what it is. There's a big disconnect for me. And one of the things, I'm sure you've heard people moaning about this before, but one of the things that really annoys me is, in order to get anything good in the game, a good weapon, a good ship, one of the special characters, it's all pickup based. And you've always got them two or three people that are playing the game and they've got no interest in going after any of the enemies or objectives and just hover about waiting for the pickup to show up and nobody else gets a shot yet. Which is a bit shitty. So,
quick.
One second.
Very quick question. Do the pickups always spawn in exactly the same locations?
No, it seems to be... like, when it comes to the ones in the ground-based combat, I don't know where they spawn, so I couldn't tell you. I accidentally picked up Luke Skywalker once, and somebody crashed an X-Wing into me, which was lovely. So I've never had much luck with it. I've had more luck with the vehicles, especially in the big Walker Assault mode, which I was kind of happy to find that when you play Walker Assault on it, now it's not just the Hoth map. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other maps that you can play Walker Assault on, but it's much the same thing. Do you know what I mean?
Because I think that's the bit I was wondering about, is the people who, well, you know, people usually spawn camp. I'm just wondering if they spawn camp the pickups as well, because they always appear in the same place. There might be a different pickup type, but effectively, since it always appears in the same place, you just run there, stand there, and go, right, as long as I don't get hit, I'm always going to pick something
well
up.
What I would say is, if you play Fighter Squadron mode, mm-hmm. which I'll talk about in a wee minute, that's basically my favourite mode, that's the bit that I'll talk about, but when I'm playing that, I know where the pickups are in most of the maps now, and it's always those. If something shows up in that spot, it's always going to be the Falcon or the Slave 1. It's never going to be like some other type of pickup. So I'd imagine it's the same on the ground battles.
Okay.
So if you know where a hero will spawn, whenever something shows up there, it's definitely a hero pickup.
So that's what I think. If I was one of the designers, I think that that should be a randomised thing that can appear at any particular point in the map, and the pickup will not always spawn at the same time in the same place.
Aye, I agree with you. That's the way I felt. Either that or else the heroes should put in some sort of mode where, like, maybe you can still play the way it is right now, but gives a mode where the more kills you have, you get a better, you can, maybe like Warzone, the way you get like the rec points, mm-hmm. and you can use them to spawn in something. But it feels very unfair, especially when I've never had a shot at Darth Vader. And that's all I want. I just want to use Darth.
Apparently Boba Fett's the man. There's videos of Boba Fett killing up to 25 people in a single run.
Aye, he can be a bit of a beast.
Yeah, I've seen a few with Palpatine doing the same thing.
His Force Lightning, if you run down corridors with him, you kill anything that walks around the corner. But as I say, it's alright when you're playing like the kind of normally kind of objective based things. It's just, as I say, the pickups are annoying. There is a couple of things you can do about it. You can play Hero Hunt, I think it's called, which is like a 8-player a rumble match, like every man for themselves deathmatch.
Yeah.
But one person will start off as the hero, and whoever can get the final killing blow on the hero gets to respawn as the hero next. So you can do that, or you can play, there's another mode where I think it's heroes versus villains,
mm-hmm.
and that's 6 versus 6, and 3 people are randomly selected to play. So obviously if it's the good guys, 3 of the people in the team will be spawned as Luke, Leia and Han, and the other team vice versa. Can't be bored name on other heroes, who cares.
This sounds like it's got EA Access written all over it so far.
Right.
Just don't bother buying it, just wait till it comes out on EA Access middle of next year.
I've kind of been thinking that myself. That mode seems to be quite fair, because it seems to be that any time I've played it, every second round I get to use a hero, which is nice. And you basically got loads of cannon fodder running about, but you basically got the 3 heroes clashing with each other mm-hmm. in the middle, and that's kind of what you want for the ground-based stuff in Star Wars. But one of the biggest things for me was when I finally get into playing Fighter Squadron. And in Fighter Squadron, it's pretty simple. I think it's 8 versus 8, it's 16 versus 16, I think it might be 16 versus 16. You basically start off, you get to pick whether you're going to be a TIE fighter, a TIE interceptor, or whether you're going to be an X-Wing or an A-Wing, and you just fly into one big area where everybody's having at it and shooting fuck at each other. Every so often an objective will show up, and it's either a Rebel transport or an Imperial transport, and you get points if you can protect your one, and you get points if you can kill the enemy's one. Pretty simple, but it feels like what I want to be doing, because I'm so shit at it, I don't know who else would disagree with that, but because I'm so shit, I don't enjoy the ground-based stuff, but I really, really feel like I'm playing Star Wars when I'm flying about an X-Wing or an A-Wing or something, do you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And also, I've got a pretty dab hand at it, and I'm one of them cunts that knows where all the pickups are. So, but for me, as you say, if it went on EA Access, I think it would be the kind of game I'd keep on my hard drive, and I'd turn it on like maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah.
Take a couple of digs at Fighter Squadron.
And I mean, they've got precedence for this, because they put Titanfall up on EA Access once all the DLC was out.
I'd get about 6 months. I could definitely see it showing up then.
Awesome.
Obviously, as well as that, you've got the season pass. It's atrociously priced, isn't it? It's like £30.
Well, this is a weird thing, because obviously they're going to have to release maps on a regular basis for free, I would think, because there's not a huge amount of maps to start with, is there? It's only about 4 or 5.
As far as I know the Battle of Jakku has gone free in a couple of days, isn't it? But as far as I'm aware, that's the only 3 stuff you're getting. And that's just because that was held back, because the game came out way before The Force Awakens, mm-hmm. so they were kind of holding that map back. But, I don't know.
I could be wrong.
I don't think it's worth it for me. I wouldn't be paying, because obviously if I bought the season pass, they would be adding in extra ground maps, and I'm hearing about maybe putting in a couple extra heroes and some guns and stuff, but I've not heard anything about ships, and I think that's all I'm going to be interested in, so I'll give the season pass a miss.
Yeah, fair enough.
I suspect the season pass will come down in price because people have very quickly lost interest with it, I think.
Fair enough. Jace, you just said you'd be doing Fallout, haven't you, Jace?
Yeah.
So you two are both Hearthstone players, yeah?
Yeah.
Are either of you now lapsed Hearthstone players?
Are we what?
Lapsed.
I played it the other day.
Because I know...
I've not played it in a couple of months.
Fair enough. I'm just wondering if anyone was interested, because obviously they announced that expansion at BlizzCon, and I think it's now out, but because I haven't heard either of you talk about actually whether you've been playing Hearthstone, I don't know if either of you bothered to pick it up, or whether...
Yeah, is that the Explorers one that's come out? Yeah, I haven't touched that, and I haven't touched the Grand Tournament that's been out a little while either, but I'm going to at some point when I get round to it, probably post-Fallout, maybe.
Fair enough. I just, because you hit it pretty hard, both of you, when it first started.
I go in and out on Hearthstone. Sometimes I'm into it, and I'll have a good run, and then sometimes I just leave it for a while. At the moment, I'm just going on every week to do my, get my free pack from the Tavern Brawl thing at the moment, to keep my eye in, but that's it.
I think the problem for me was, I put it down for too long. By the time I came back, there was too many new cards for me to catch up, and I get frustrated now when I try to play it ranked because everybody's got shit tons of cards that I've never even seen before.
But then you get to the point where when you do pick up a card pack, you've got new cards in it more often than you did before because it was always the same card. So it's
definitely, mate.
It's two sides of the same coin.
Yeah,
right.
But so it sounds like neither of it's enough to get you back into it on as regular a basis as it was before, though.
It's still always going to be a thing for me. It's still always going to be something that I pick up when I'm sitting bored and I go, oh, I'll have a couple of matches at Hearthstone, but I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be enough to drag me back into it. I'll have to get a shot.
Oh, fair enough.
Topi Battlefront, I've also been playing a wee bit of that Numa that we got for free.
Ooh, stuck that one in.
Well, it's alright. I quite like it. It's a good looking game, obviously. It's a bit kind of like plasticky and stylized, and nothing's really happening in the world, but it looks nice.
It's got that shiny surfaces look.
Mm. Yes, aye. That like, when you're playing like, that pool shit. That
yeah, so it's like everything's been smeared in like 5,000 tubs of Vaseline, basically.
Yes, yeah. Aye. But it's kind of fun. The puzzles are really kind of head scratchy. I've got stuck at a couple of them already, but usually you find it's the kind of game where when you come back, take a look at it, you realise you've been doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's good enough. The puzzles, I can't even really define what you're doing in the puzzles. A lot of it is perspective based. So when you first start getting into the game, you'll start to find doors that there's little eyeball things on stocks, little kind of statue eyeball things, and if you look at them, the door will open, and once you look away, the door starts to close again, so it's about trying to figure out how to keep the thing in view for enough time to be able to get through the door, and then as you progress, you start to get puzzles where it'll be like, there's these spinning platforms where when you stand on them, whatever way you turn your character is whatever way the platform goes. So it's kind of weird. You've got the three of these spinny platforms. You need to line them up properly so you can get to the next one. But you're having to kind of spin it and then jump sideways onto the next platform and then spin it the opposite way and then jump backwards onto the next platform to make it work. And I came across some steps that they were only... They would slide into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you were looking at them and trying to walk them up properly, so I had to kind of turn my character around and walk upstairs backwards and stuff like that. It's just kind of little logic-y things, but it's fun. The guy talking through the thing kind of does my head in, and I'm the kind of person that kind of likes a bit of fucking dialogue in the game, but it sounds as if he's trying to be too fucking smart for his own good, because I couldn't care less what he's going on about, but he obviously thinks he's some kind of god and he's kind of creating the world round about him. He does make a comment about how it's strange that when he looks down he can't see his feet, which I suspect is just an excuse not to bother doing a character model for the game. But as I say, it's fun. It'll probably be fun for your first playthrough. I don't see a lot of replayability in it, and I've probably only put 2 hours into it, and I've done like 6 out of 10 chapters, so it's not too long either, yeah. But I definitely recommend giving it a wee whirl. See what you think.
Yeah, Dash was harping about that before, wasn't he? So it's certainly sounds like something worth having a bash for free. Everything's worth it for free, isn't it? Can't argue.
Aye. And I think you could play the game with the sound in. Some of the dialogue he says gives you a bit of a clue as to the puzzle, but it's very rare.
Just put the subtitles on.
The thing is just... Aye, well, you could do that as well. There's not really much to listen to when you're playing it, except for his kind of really posh, annoying accent. So
is you could play it with the sound down a consideration when recommending games? What's this all about?
Well, I'm talking about for the likes of UGs that would probably be playing it, going, this is a bunch of pretentious shit.
I wouldn't be playing it anyway, to be honest.
Some people kind of like playing stuff
that's pretentious shit.
They can just listen to podcasts at the same time or something like that, to be fair. Some people like games that you just go, you know what? If you're doing collectibles for that sort of stuff.
Aye, that used to always be my routine when you get like an Assassin's Creed. Do a couple of story missions, then boss the sound in, put on a podcast, and start going about opening up shitty treasure chests. So aye, you can play this game like that if you really want.
Fair enough.
That's my recommendation.
Can't say much further than that, coming. So that's all you've been playing, is it? Is that everything you've done?
Just the odd fucking game of FIFA, mate.
Just a question, where did that Hearthstone thing come from, Del? Because it seemed to be...
I don't know.
No way you asked that question.
I just remember that you two used to play it for fucking ages. And used to chat about it a lot. And go nuts over when you got new cards and all that sort of stuff. And yet it just died. It completely died. And to be fair, I thought Will was only going to talk about one game. So I thought I'd bring something new in. And then he fucked it up by talking about another one. So... That it doesn't look as good now, quite frankly.
Fair enough, mate. It was just very random. Okay. Right.
Del's vain attempt to save the podcast.
I was just trying to inject a little bit of conversation, and he went and just fucked it up by talking about other games.
Ah, we don't need conversation, mate. We've got fucking bullshit to fucking get us through it. Right.
Plus, people will be rewinding to listen to his talk about hating pantyhose again.
That's only getting worse.
Hayden panty sniffer.
Right, anything else to talk about? Are we bidding this shit off?
I don't think so. There was something. No, there wasn't. There was nothing else to talk about at all. There's no other games or anything existing in this world.
No, it's only Fallout.
Right, I'm going to bugger off, I think. So, shall we say goodbye?
Yes, we shall.
Goodbye.
Bye. No, I've got to do the thing first, you fucking arsehole. Right, if you want to send us any feedback, it's always very welcome. We've enjoyed the feedback we've got from the couple of special episodes we've put out recently. So your feedback can be to us on the Twitter at console_ninjas, or it can be on the email consoleninjaspodcast@gmail.com. And we shall see you at some point when I get round to playing some games. And has anybody else got anything lined up to play? Anything as a looking forward thing?
Obviously I'm looking forward to Fallout, but I'm getting it for Christmas, so...
Oh, you'll be dead by then, don't worry about it.
I think my brother's getting a copy of Need for Speed as well for Christmas, so I'll be playing that.
Well, first things first, if you are sending in a message on to our Twitter account, just make sure you tell Jace that I am not mental about the voice thing, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, this would be interesting.
Just saying, I cannot be the only one that has that sort of
This
thought.
Is where Del opens about 15 other Twitter accounts, all insisting that Del's not a fucking mentalist.
That is the name of my Twitter account, Del's not a fucking mentalist. But the thing I am going to give a bash, because I've had a lot of people talk about a game called Assault Android Cactus, which is on Steam, and it's a shooter, basically.
Why do I ask these questions?
Twin stick shooter.
Why?
And I've heard a lot of people talk about it really highly. So it's something that I think I can just bash on, do for a couple of hours, and see where I am. Because it sounds kind of fun. And it's in my Steam library of however many thousands of bloody games I've got on there.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll look forward to that then. So look forward to Cactus Shooting with Del in a future
episode.
Don't
call me a prick.
And, until then... We shall see you later on. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hayden Pan America.
This is the postcard piece of what you did.
Pan America.
Hayden Pan.
Yeah, I'm fucking off. See you.
Bye. Bye.